And if you did miss the Christmas party last night, wow, what a party you missed. We had an all-new revamp party. Miss Mary outdid herself. We thank her for all her hard work and those that helped her. We had a great time. No games. We didn't play any games last night. So if you avoided it because of the games, shame on you. But if you forgot it, well, next year, we have the reminder. So let's turn in our Bibles this morning. We're going to sing our memory verse. If you remember where it was, it's Isaiah 51:11. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 11. And if you know it, sing with me. If not, I will go through it once and we'll sing it again. Isaiah 51:11. It goes like this. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. All right, let's try without our Bibles this morning. Isaiah 51:11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Amen. I pray you're hiding God's word in your heart. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Hosea. It is the first of the minor prophets. If you can find the major prophets and go to Daniel, it's the very next chapter and there even next book. Daniel, then Hosea. And we're going to begin in Hosea chapter 4. We have been looking at this place, this location in the Bible, this place called Gilgal. And as the Lord sees fit, He's allowed us to continue this study, and we're going to come to another lesson that we can learn at Gilgal this morning. And how this lesson shows how the children of Israel have gone so far from God. And as we wrap up this study next week, I pray that it has been a study that has helped us learn some lessons that God would instruct us from this location. And it is a powerful place. It is a place where God has really met with His people and instructed them and taught them and helped them to understand how they should live their lives. And then, as we've seen in the previous weeks, how they have started to disobey God. So we're going to begin in the book of Hosea, chapter number 4. Look with me at one verse here, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 15. Hosea 4:15. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, let not Judah offend, and come not ye unto Gilgal. Neither go ye up to Beth-aven, nor swear the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love. Give ye The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Look back at chapter 4, verse 15. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, let not Judah offend, and come not ye unto Gilgal. And then chapter number 9, look at verse 15 with me. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. What in the world has happened? Why is God speaking through the prophet Hosea, and he says, come not to Gilgal, and that is where the place that I hated them. This is God speaking through Hosea. That's what we're going to look at this morning. Gilgal has become a place of rejection. A place of rejection. God is going to reject His people because of their sin. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that You would help us this morning to understand these portions of Scripture that we're reading and studying this morning. Apply them to our hearts and lives. Help us to truly understand what is going on, that we may be better Christians for hearing this morning. Speak through me this morning. Help me, dear Lord, I pray. Give me the words to say. Speak through my lips. Use me as just an instrument. We pray that You would help us this day to be better Christians. In Christ's name, amen. Hosea chapter 4, we see God says through Hosea, come not ye unto Gilgal. Now we need a little backup story. What's going on? What has transpired? What has happened? If you remember last week, if you were here, we saw the life of Saul and how God had spoken to Saul through Samuel, and He told him where to go and how to do and to wait on God for 7 days before Samuel would come to him to the place of Gilgal, and they would offer the sacrifices there, and how Saul disobeyed God. And then the week before, we saw Joshua and the children of Israel still encamped at Gilgal. We've had major victories. We've had some minor defeats. They always came back to Gilgal. And when they come to Gilgal at this time, the Gibeonites were heard of that the children of Israel were just beating everyone. And they were scared. And this is one of the tribes that God had told the children of Israel to wipe out completely, drive them out of the promised land. Make no leagues with them. They'll make no compacts or make no allegiance with any of the people that live in Canaan land. And the Gibeonites sort of disguised themselves and were very subtle in their appearance and what they brought into the camp at Gilgal. And they tricked Joshua and the children of Israel. But if Joshua had gone to the Lord and asked His understanding and what He wanted Joshua to do, there would have been no mistake. But unfortunately, Joshua and the children of Israel decided for themselves that the Gibeonites were telling the truth, and that we will make a pact with them, a league with them. They disobeyed God. And from that point on through the children of Israel history till we get to the book of Hosea, they are disobeying God little bit by little bit by little bit, and it's compounding and compounding to the place of just a simple disobedience of not asking God what they should do. To now, Gilgal has come a place that God says, don't even come here anymore. Your wickedness is in Gilgal, and I hated you there. Those are strong words. But it's because of the sin of the people. We saw as we were studying the life of Joshua in the time of the Gibeonites, and as that transpired and Joshua was getting ready to go off the scene, and the children of Israel in the book of Judges where it said that they did right in their own eyes. They were moving away from God. And as we looked at last week in the life of Saul, and they said, we want a king just like all the other nations. We want a king. Well, God was their king. God was their leader. They were a theocracy. But no, the people said, we want God. We don't want God. We want a king. And God allowed them to have Saul. And now we've come to a place where we've had a number of kings. The kingdom is divided. It's no longer one nation. We have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. We have the nation of Israel and we have the nation of Judah. The northern kingdom is Israel and the capital is Samaria, and that's where Hosea is prophesying to. And in the southern kingdom, we have Jerusalem and Judah, the southern kingdom. And the southern kingdom had more kings that did right in the sight of the Lord than not. Whereas the northern kingdom had many, many wicked kings. They did not follow the Lord. They brought in all the false gods that they could find. King Ahab and Jezebel were in the northern kingdom. They brought in all this idolatry, and the people of the northern kingdom accepted it, and they worshiped these false gods. And we've seen in some of our other studies in months past where these false gods and what they were doing and how the people were worshiping them. And just an example is they were sacrificing their children to these gods. Sacrificing their children to try to appease a god. They were cutting themselves to worship gods. They were offering themselves to this god in sexual and moral practices. This is going on in God's land. And God says, this is not right. And you know this is not right. And these kings in succession in the northern kingdom are getting worse and worse and worse, and they're leading the people further and further away from the truth. Till it comes to a place where Gilgal is now a place where God says, don't even come here. It is a holy place and you are not allowed. I hated you there. The nation as a whole has forsaken God. But you know, false religion was not forced upon Israel. They ran after it. They chose it. But they also saw their leaders, their kings, and their priests, which were really not true Levite priests, but they saw these priests and the leaders of their country going after these idols and this false worship, and they followed their leaders. There's a warning for us today in that. Careful, leaders. Lee Robertson has a statement that I try to live by. It says, everything rises and falls on leadership. And I believe that. If I was to get up here, and I would never do this, but if I was to get up here and flip-flops and Bermuda shorts and a tank top shirt, what does that tell the congregation? What is their standard now going to be? Less than mine. If I came up here with a perversion of the Bible, what would that tell the congregation and their standards? No, the King James Version is God's word for the English-speaking people. And that is our standard. If I had my hair down past my neckline, and I can't stand it, it's long now to me. But if I had my hair down and covered my ears and maybe hanging in my eyes, what kind of standard is that setting for the congregation? They're going to lower their standards. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And how those kings of the northern kingdom are going to report a answer to God. And those priests are going to answer to God. But those people are also going to answer to God because it is an individual accountability to God. This nation has run after this false religion. The sinful soul does not merely forsake God. These people did not just merely forsake God. They are forgetting God. They have turned their back onto God to the place where it says in Judges that the generation came up that didn't even know God or His Word. Are we teaching our children, our grandchildren God's Word? Are we telling them they need to be in church to hear God's Word taught and preached? In Hosea chapter 4, in the first few verses here, God is building a case against the Hebrew race. Let's look at some of these verses. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out in blood. Toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beast of the field. and with the fowls of the heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea, also shall ye be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priests. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. The first two verses in Hosea chapter 4 are God's case against the nation of Israel, the Hebrew people. It is comparable to Romans chapter 1, where God builds a case against the human population and the sins of the people. But it says in verse 1, it says, there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. This is God's people. And they have gone so far away from God that they don't even know who God is anymore. They are surrounded by gods, and none are the true God. There is worship going on all over the northern kingdom, but none is to the true God. You see in verses 1 and 2 where God builds the case, and in verse 3 it begins, therefore. He says, nor. And then he comes to verse 3 and he says, therefore. Here is your sin. You've sown it. Now you're going to reap this. Verse 3 begins what they're going to reap. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beast of the field and with the fowls of the heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor approve another, for thy people are as they strive with the priest. And we don't have time to go in really what is going on in the book of Hosea. It is such a powerful book. It talks about the millennial reign of Christ. It talks about the return of Christ. It talks about Battle of Armageddon. There is so much in this book. And God tells Hosea, a simple farmer, as we would see in chapter 1, a simple farmer, he is called of God to be a prophet of God to the northern kingdom. And God tells him to go out and get a wife. But a wife of the whoredom, a harlot. And there was reasons for that, because God was showing through Hosea, through his marriage, God's broken heart for his people, the nation of Israel. And the children's names that Hosea and Gomer have, they all mean a significant thing, and it all builds a case against the children of Israel, but it always shows God's love for his people. But there are some particular verses I'd love to look at with you this morning. God refers to the nation of Israel as my people. My people. And I want to start that by going back to Exodus chapter 3. Even though they were so deprived, even though they were so far away from God, He still loved them. He still wanted them to come to Him. And He called them my people. Even though I hate you, even though I hate your sin, you're still my people. And it comes to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7. The Bible says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. This is when God is calling Moses out of the burning bush. And he says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. My people. I see their affliction. I know their pain. Go to Psalm 78. The 78th Psalm is really a short mini history of the nation of Israel from Egypt to the time of David. In Psalm 78, the Word of God says in verse 1, give ear, O my people. A theme coming through here. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which ye have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. We are to do that, fathers. That is our job. We are to instruct our children in what God has done through the Word of God. And He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. If we had gone into Judges and we looked a couple weeks ago with Joshua's life was ending and the ministry of that generation was ending and a new generation was coming on, they did not know God, did not know the Word of God, the fathers failed. Their fathers, the generation before, their fathers did not instruct them in what God had done for that nation. A failure. Go with me to Psalm 81. Psalm 81, sing aloud unto God our strength and make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel and the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law for the God of Jacob. This He ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. My people, I love you, my people, but you are not obeying me. Go with me back to the book of Hosea. And let's begin in verse 1, chapter 1. Hosea chapter 1. And look at verse number 9. Hosea 1, 9. The Bible says, then said God, God is telling Hosea and Gomer, but really to Hosea, here to name your children these things. And they had three children at least. And we come to verse 9, it's the third child. Then said God, call his name Loami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Why? What has happened? A sense and a spirit of rebellion, as we saw last week. They are continuing on this path away from God. They are continuing disobeying God. And remember, you're not going to one day be in church and the next day be completely out of church and away from God. It's going to start with a small step and another small step, and they're going to compound upon each other, and it is going to be continual rebellious against God, and you are disobeying God, to the place where He's going to say, as He said in verse 9, you are not my people, and I will not be your God. He still loves His people. The amazing love of God will not let us go. He will not let us down. And He will not let us off. He will judge us for our sins. We are accountable for our sins. The nation of Israel, the Hebrew children, the northern kingdom, they are responsible for their sins. Even though their fathers did not teach them and train them as the Scriptures told them to do, they are still individually responsible because they made the choice to continue in this sin. Look in verse 10 of chapter 1 of Hosea. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. He still calls you His child. Even though He is upset with your sin, Although he was upset with this nation of Israel and these children of the Hebrew race in the northern kingdom, he was upset with them and hated their sin. He still loved them. Go to chapter 2 and verse 23. Chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, "And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that I have not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people. And they shall say, Thou art my God." Actually, chapter 2 is really coming into the talk of discussing some of the battle of Armageddon. Chapter 4, we've already looked at, but look again at verse 6. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." This is an emphasis on their immorality. Look at verse number 8. "They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity." Verse 12. "My people ask counsel at their stocks, and at their staff, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a whoring from under their God." Emphasis on here on their idolatry. Look at chapter number 11 and verse number 7. "And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they call them to the Most High, none at all would exalt Him." What has happened to the nation? They have turned their back on God. Even though He continually shows us through the Scriptures that He calls them my people, He still realizes they've turned their back on Him. They're disobeying Him. They're sacrificing their children. They're all making offerings to the golden calf again. They are worshiping false pagan gods, Baal and Asheroth. They have put up false priests to conduct sexual immoral worship to a god, a false god. And that's what Hosea's wife came from. Such a horrible condition these people are in. All they have to do is turn back to God. How do I know that? It is said in 2 Chronicles. Go with me. I want you to see this. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We know it by heart, I'm sure. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. "If my people..." Do you see the theme? "My people. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." No matter how wicked, if you'll turn from those wicked ways, "then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Unfortunately, in chapter 8 of the book of Hosea, God is pronouncing judgment on this nation. The Assyrian Empire is getting ready to come and to take the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes of Israel, away into captivity into Assyria. And if we looked at the book of Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther, it's talking about the southern kingdom and the 2 tribes. And when in Nehemiah they come back to Jerusalem, that's the southern kingdom. We don't see in the Old Testament where the 10 tribes came back to Israel. They're called the 10 lost tribes. God judged them severely. And it says in Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7, "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk. The bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up. Have sown the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind." As a principle for us. Look with us in the New Testament, to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Look with me in verse 6. Galatians 6, 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The principle that we're trying to learn here at Gilgal, this has become a place of rejection, is that God will forgive you and welcome you back. But we must abide by 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. We must humble ourselves. We must seek God's face. We must ask for forgiveness. Because we are accountable to God. Even as a believer, we are not perfect. We are a sinful, we have a sinful flesh that we carry around every day. And we have thoughts, we have actions, we go places that we should not go, or should not think on, or should not listen to, or should not say. We must humble ourselves and go before God and ask Him to forgive us. For if we don't, we will reap what we sow. It is a biblical principle. If you do not believe me, study the nation of Israel and the northern kingdom and the book of Hosea and what happened to that nation. They did not turn back to God. And God judged them severely. It says in the book of Hosea that they are as backsliding heifers. Hosea was a farmer. He'd seen those cows, those heifers. He saw what they were doing, but also in the nation of Israel, he saw the golden calf being worshipped. I don't want to be a backsliding heifer in God's eyes. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be. I don't want to be a backslider in God's eyes. If there is something that God wants us to do, and He has communicated that to you through the Scriptures or through the Spirit of God or through the preaching of God, and God touches your heart about something, do it for God. Or you could be rejected. You could come to the place where God says, don't come here anymore. Don't come to me until you get right with me. He is a holy God. And an unholy people cannot come before Him except we go through Jesus Christ. And Christ came to this earth to bleed and to die for our sins. If we'd go over, and I'm out of time, but if we'd go over to Hebrews, we would see it ask us, have you trodden on the blood of Christ? Have you made the blood of Christ to none effect? If Christ has spoken to our heart, and He has spoken to us about a sin that's in our lives that we need to give up, or something that is not the best for God that we need to surrender to God, or if He has told us that we should witness to a neighbor and we have not witnessed to that neighbor, if He has told us to surrender to Him, to do something for Him, and you have not done that, you are rebelling against God. And you are not obeying God. And you have the spirit of rebellion upon your life. And that spirit of rebellion could lead to the rejection of God. Not to the place where He's going to say you're no longer saved and no longer welcome you to heaven, but He's going to pull back some talents that He has given you. He's going to pull back a call from your life that maybe He has put upon your life. He is going to remove a burden that He has given you in your life. It is not the place to be. We will, if what we sow, we will reap. Believe the Scriptures. Learn from the past. Read and study what happened to the nation, the northern kingdom. They were judged severely. God took them away into a land of Assyria, and we never see them coming back in the Scriptures. Gilgal is a place that we should take notice of. Gilgal is a place where we should learn the lessons God is teaching His people. Allow our lives not to become a place of rejection of God. Lord, we thank you so much for this lesson. It's not an easy lesson, Lord. You talked and spoke to my heart. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to get right with you, to live a clean life before you, to understand the burdens and the compassions and the talents and the calls upon our lives and to place them in your hands. For what is our life but a gift from you? Help us to surrender that back to you and for you to do with that what you'd have. Help us to learn the lessons that are here in the book of Hosea. Teach them and apply them to our hearts. Help us not to be those backsliding Christians or those folks that don't even know the true and living God. Help us turn to Him. Help us to humble ourselves. Remove that self-pride and to get right with you. Speak to our hearts this morning. Bless Pastor in the morning service. Speak to him. Speak through him to our hearts. Apply the lessons he has for us that we might be better Christians. We love and thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Christ. Thank you for Calvary. At this time of year, we thank you for the manger, but we thank you for Calvary, Lord. Thank you for our Savior. Thank you for our intercessor. We can go to him and ask for forgiveness, and he can take it to the Holy Father. Bless and guide and direct us and help us, dear Lord, this day to be the best Christians that we can be. For it's in Christ's name we pray.